I just remember a question I had the last year to read the class, which was where we left off. I think something Osama was talking about how we're not to see what is good or bad, but that everything is good, something like this. And the question that came up was, you know, people coming to make disturbance in the Mott, a lot of us are seeing them as like very bad people, and looking at them very negatively. And some debate has arisen about that. You know, how can we see these people?
Well, one thing is, you can't be thinking about this 24 hours a day. Right? Every opportunity is yet another opportunity in the never-ending, eternally looping discussion. You know, like, this is Krishna consciousness, what's described in here. And it will be best to focus on that eternal substance, right? Not the news, the newspaper, the events of this world. The events of this world, they're eternally changing. And so are the characters involved in that. What the famous Shakespeare quote? All the world's but a stage, and we are but the players, something like that. There's some truth in that. So, Krishna, he knows, you know, what does it say? Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridayeshu arjuna tishtati. Krishna's in the heart of every living being. Why does he tell Arjuna? Vedaham sumatitani janmani tavacharjuna. Says Arjuna, you and I have had many, many births. I remember all of them and you don't. So, all of that, what is in someone's heart, their spiritual evolution, you know, the Vaishnavas have a tendency to be non-judgmental about others. I've mentioned before, Srila Gurudev has said, my religion is finding fault with myself. They're more concerned about that. Guru Maharaj says that one man, one scholar, perhaps a German scholar, he read Bhagavad Gita and he concluded that to distill the essential message there is that not to quarrel with the environment. Basically, that you can adjust yourself. Same Guru Maharaj says, if you go, the Srimad Bhagavatam goes deeper when it says, Tattenu Kampam Susamikshamano. Samiksha means to examine something. Samiksha, and susamiksha, you can say means to scrutinize. So he's saying from one point of view, the Gita's message is tolerance. You find yourself in a variety of circumstances, you have to tolerate that. Says, but the message of the Bhagavatam, susamiksha, means if you scrutinize anything to the extreme, then, or if we say, use other words, if you scrutinize it to the infinite degree, then if you reach the infinite and your scrutiny, then the infinite is Krishna. So, you'll see that in the background of everything is the friendly hand of Krishna. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his book, Lila Pushti Karan, that giving the case of Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu was in Navadvip, Nimai Pandit. He met with some opposition, actually at one point causing him to leave Navadvip for some time, to take sannyas, etc. They're all lilic considerations. We can say he came here to do a particular thing. You can analyze this from many different ways. But as an overview, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we can see then that the opposition has a part to play. So he says it's lila pushti, it's nourishing the lila. Right? And Krishna lila, there's so much opposition, it's nourishing the lila. And Guru Maharaj is bringing it into modern context, like in any political system, in some countries, maybe the ones that favor, that employ parliamentary structure, they refer to the noble opposition. So they have, in Guru Maharaj's way of seeing, the opposition has a place also. So, but to sit in judgment on any particular person, that's not advisable. That Krishna, it's called Upadrashtanu Mantacha Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara. Description of the Paramatma is that he's an observer. Sometimes Guru Maharaj says, a passive with the observer. The Paramatma is neutral. The Paramatma, who is accompanying everyone, who knows everything about everybody, is neutral. That's his position. So, Vaishnavas, if they're to engage the critical eye, they turn it inward on themselves. They say, oh, I'm flawed in so many ways. Like there's a common saying about a dancer, bad dancer, blames the stage, the floor. That's Guru Maharaj saying, as long as you are inclined to cast blame on others, on the environment, he said, then you're going to be in this world a long time. He says, on the other hand, if you start realizing that you have nothing to blame on anyone but yourself, then your days here are numbered. And he's also given the example of a child in denial warrants punishment. Whereas a child who approaches his mother and says, actually, I was wrong. What I did, they realize truly, sincerely, that they're wrong, then there's no need of punishment. Because the punishment is to bring about this type of inner awareness. So, we'll be cautious how we view others. Rather focusing on the things that are wrong within me. How can I adjust myself? Guru Maharaj really found abhorrent any type of name calling. He never got reduced to that level. That kind of thing. Even in the Gaudiya Math, there were so many difficulties. Some people actively campaigning against someone using, employing name-calling and things like that. He didn't... Not only did he not subscribe to that, he really advised against it as being unhealthy. And really, we are trying to offer ourselves an assistance to the growth of faith, the extension of faith, growth, development, etc. Right? We're not disbelievers. We're not engaged in a culture of disbelief, but rather the culture of belief. That's why I'm reminding you to try and stay focused on spiritual substance instead of just analyzing over and over and over again the world, which basically comes down to the world. Many times Srila Guru Maharaj would say that before dealing with something, he'd say, I try to make sure that I'm situated in the nirguna plane. And he's meaning, like, from that position, then you can look at anything. But if you're looking at it under the influence of tamagun, rajagun, or even sattvagun, that won't be spiritual type seeing. Therefore, we're having this class, we try and read the scriptures, hear from Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vaishnav, we're not going to give up those things in favor of the mind. And what is the song sung almost every day? Emana durmati sangsara vitore. This evil mind. The mind can suggest all kinds of things. So is that where we're going to take our guidance from? That will be disastrous. Especially for those engaged in the culture of faith. So many times Srila Guru Maharaj advised us, wait and see what leads to what, which way the divine will moves next. With regard to past histories of different spiritual organizations, Guru Maharaj said, with regard to the Gaudiya Math, for example, he said, if you can accommodate the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty, as described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's own family members fighting and arguing amongst themselves. And if you can accommodate that, then what is something else? He says, this person arguing, fighting with someone. If in the 11th canto, Krishna's own family members are arguing and fighting with one another and kill each other in a drunken brawl, that's in the Bhagavatam. So then what? So therefore, he says, which way the divine will move next? We wait and see. And he reminds us, he says, all events are not meant to please you. Right? And he's not advising of you, you know, of black hats, white hats, thinking that you're a member of the good guys. Maybe disguised as a good guy, who knows? Good guy with a black heart. Because if someone is searching for an excuse to disbelieve, then certainly they'll find it. There are different descriptions about the disappearance of Mahaprabhu. Some people will say, oh, he entered the Tota Gopinath deity. Others will say, no, we saw Mahaprabhu one day went for the darshan of Jagannath and he ran into the deity and never came out. Others say, we saw him enter the ocean and never return. Others, he went in the sky and someone else, no, dancing at the Rath Yatra, he cut his foot and there was some, you know. And some, we could say, oh, that's offensive. Like Krishna was, in the Bhagavatam, he said, his lotus feet look like a rabbit. Like if you look at that rabbit out there with the pink ears. So someone, some hunter saw and he went, shot Krishna in the foot and then and blood was cutting Krishna. So that's what we call Asura Mohan. That which is allows disbelievers to disbelieve. They say, see, we've got the evidence. So with regard to Mahaprabhu, Guru Maharaj, although some will say this way, that way, Guru Maharaj himself said, all of these things, all of these angles of vision, these different perspectives, are possible. Because like a hypnotist, Krishna's allowing them to see that. If you read Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's commentaries on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll see also certain events happen that are bewildering or perplexing, and Chakrabarti Thakur's commentary will be, here Krishna is allowing for disbelief. Those who need a cause to be against them or to disbelieve or whatever, he's generous. He's giving that. Right? In the world, the same data is available to everyone. Right? Someone's interpreting in a theistic way, someone else sees clearly not. all of this, the sum total of all of this, some people, their one word answer to that is, you know, God. Someone else is saying, see, it's just going on. There's no God. There are the same data convince two different people of diametrically opposed positions. So then what? And Guru Maharaj cautions us that, you know, not everything is meant to please you. There is someone for whom everything is meant to please. It's just not you. But there is someone. And those who show the highest type of dedication to that supreme entity, we see voiced in the sentiments of Radharani, Asli Shiva, Parvatam, Panastamam, Adarshanam, Marmahatam, Karotuva. She's saying, if what pleases you locally makes me unhappy, it pleases you. I'm an aspiring servitor. Right? In your divine realm, why something will move this way or that way, you only know that. It's in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Janmadyasya yatanvayat itaratas cha arteshu abhignya svarat. Only he knows. So, the devotees, they're, you know, aspiring servitors, but they always want to be in consonance with the will of Krishna. So Guru Maharaj is cautioning, wait and see what leads to what, which way the divine will move next. He who acts hurriedly will have to repent. Much caution. And again, his way of viewing things is, what is it within me that causes me to be found in such circumstances? Like when someone was calling Srila Gurudev on the phone, like harassing him. And I could hear they're saying offensive things to him over the phone. And I said, Maharaj, like I can take the next call and stop this. You don't have to subject yourself to this. And he said, I know. He said, but why is Krishna allowing me to hear this? That's what his thinking was. It wasn't, yes, yes, stop that immediately here. Next time that I'm giving the phone to you and you. And he said, why Krishna is allowing me to hear this? That he didn't want to dismiss so easily. Some criticism is coming to my ear, Krishna allowing some. He's searching. Is there something there for me to adjust myself with? So, and we also hear that the one thing which can really arrest one's progress and is devastating in this line is Vaishnava Aparad and Guru Aparad. So, and that we try to avoid at all costs. So if we think, oh, someone, they've served lotus feet of Gurudev for so many years, I bow my head in principle. Sometimes Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Dandavata Durata Bhaktivinoda. From a distance, Bhaktivinoda is giving his dandavats. Okay. We know also Sarasvati Thakur, when we're told some big sahajya guru came to see Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he's sitting in one chair, the person sitting next to him, and that man observed Sarasvati Thakur from 100 feet away giving dandavats, and he said, I don't understand why that boy from such a great distance he is giving dandavats, he doesn't come, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, oh, don't mind him, but he has a vow that he won't come within 100 feet of a sahajya, and he saw you here. There's that idea also in his song. He's saying to famous philosophers, Jaimini, Gautam, and the others, Dandavata Durata. Bhaktivinoda offers his dandavats from a distance to them. So that has its meaning as well. So main thing is to avoid conflict, especially the things that are not helpful in advancing any particular cause. To avoid it, not put yourself in situations where you're likely to come in conflict with someone else. Some of it's just common sense. Guru Maharaj also said that I take my stand on spiritual common sense. So an event when people cannot get along, there's some distance can be employed as well. But spiritually, we look to Guru for direction. And we'll see in the case of Srila Gurudev that he's very, how shall we say, equipoised in dealing with the group of servitors. And mainly if we saw that someone had affection for him, he had affection for them, and they were serving him, we tried to adjust ourselves with that. Or even if he is dealing with someone that he saw had created some distance between himself and them, but they had rendered much service to him, he wouldn't dismiss that, deny that. Kaviraj Goswami, at the conclusion of Madhya Leela, gives some advice. He says that one should avoid what he calls the whirlpool and pitfall of false arguments. You can read it right here. It says, Je lila amritabine kai jadi anapane tabe bhaktera durbal jivan jara ek bindu pane utpalita tanumane hase gai koroye nartan. And here's the translation. Here it says, men become strong and stout by eating sufficient grains. But the devotee who simply eats ordinary grains but does not taste the transcendental pastimes of Mahaprabhu and Krishna gradually becomes weak and falls down from the transcendental position. However, if one drinks but a drop of the nectar of Krishna's pastimes, his body and mind begin to bloom and he begins to laugh, sing, and dance. A amrita karpan jar sam nahi an chite kori sudrida bishwas na parakutarka garte amedya karkasa avarte jate padile hoy sarvanash. The readers should relish the wonderful nectar, this wonderful nectar, because nothing compares to it. Keeping their faith firmly fixed within their minds, they should be careful not to fall in the pit of false arguments or the whirlpools of unfortunate situations. If one falls into such positions, he is finished. And it's right before that he had this beautiful slokas, Krishna Lilamrita Sar Tar Shata Shata Dar Das Dike Baha Jaha Hoite Se Chaitana Lila Hoy Sorovara Akshoy Monohamsa Charaha Tahate. Talking about Krishna Lila, Amrita Sar, the essence of all nectarine substances, and Chaitanya Lila is the magnanimous distribution of that substance, making a comparison. And so therefore you think, so then deal with this substance. Otherwise, if you get caught up and this other thing, there's nothing spiritually nourishing about it, or shall we say it, there's no spiritual substance to it to keep you nourished. So he's saying these are the things that will nourish you. So Guru Maharaj is saying, I situate myself in the Nirguna plane. I mean, when I'm finally adjusted, you know, with the name of Nityananda and Gauranga and Mahaprabhu, the advices of the sadhus, the scriptures, the shastra, everything. And then from that position I look at something. Then it can be done dispassionately. Then it can be a devotional exercise as opposed to just deteriorating into fault-finding and Vaishnava aparad. So it's critical, actually.
Rosh, may I ask, I wonder,
you know, how much potential there is for Vaishnava Aparad against someone that appears to have made some offense.
Well, Gurudev made a point once, a little in a light way. He said that, why did the Krishna consciousness movement spread so much in America? He said, there weren't any Vaishnavas there to commit Vaishnava Aparad to. So Swami Maharaj went there. But then, after so many devotees are made, then there's some opportunity. But then, again, it's not, you know, gradation cannot be ignored. So when we talk, all these things you have to think about very carefully. So, Vaishnava. What is a Vaishnava? Who is a Vaishnava? Degree of Vaishnavata. We know there's first class, second class, third class Vaishnavas. And everything in between. Varieties of first class Vaishnavas, varieties of medium, middle class Vaishnavas, varieties of third class. As Gurudev liked to quote that godmother saying, 1%, 5%, 25%, 50%. Now, who will make that assessment? So, Vaishnava, those culturing Vaishnavism under the guidance of superior Vaishnavas, realizing that they may not be able to assess Vaishnavata always and to what degree, they err on the side of caution. They don't want to commit Vaishnavaparad to anyone. And we say, well, I don't really count this person for this reason. What type of a strategy is that? Therefore, I can be offensive, say offensive things. And where is that described? I missed that chapter, that book. And we see, even in the case of Ramachandra Puri, doing so many offensive things, the Mahaprabhu, to his own guru and everything, Mahaprabhu and his devotees, on account of his spiritual connections, tolerating him. Right? He offends Madhavendra Puri on his death, on his disappearance bed. You know who I'm talking about? Ramachandra Puri. Madhavendra Puri, who's the Bhavankur, the first sprout of Madhura Rasa, this line, what was not detectable in the Madhva line comes first from Madhavendra Puri. And while he is expressing this very high sentiment of separation, Ayi Dina Dayadra Nata, Hey Mathur Nata, Kudava Lakshase, this very, the highest sloka of Rasa Kavya, according to Kaviraj Goswami, expressed by Radharani herself, etc. While he is expressing this, Ramachandra Puri is saying, what are you lamenting about? Brahmabhuta prasanatma nasochati nakanksha. If someone spiritually situated doesn't lament like this, nasochati nakanksati, and here you are, crying. He is expressing the highest sentiments, and this disciple is reading it in the most offensive way. Misreading that, offending him, and he says, "Get! I don't want to see your face. Get out, get away. If I see you leaving the world, who knows what my fate will be?" Knowing that person, then later, as if that wasn't enough, he's finding fault with Mahaprabhu and his devotees. And what is Mahaprabhu doing? Adjusting himself. So then, after some time, the devotees approach Swarup Damodar and they just say, we can't take it anymore. And then Swarup Damodar makes some adjustment. But it shows that in principle, being pushed to the extreme, they're tolerating. That's the example of Mahaprabhu and his own devotees. So devotees will see, they're expressed different things, different ways, at different times. But the guiding principle is to avoid Vaishnavaparad. And who are we to sit in judgment of another person about their Vaishnavata? So it will be healthier for us to absorb ourselves in the kind of subject matters that are in the pages of the Chaitanya Charitamritam. if you just have to think about somebody offensive, then read about Ramachandra Puri. Read Krishna Leela. Shishupal saying so many offensive things to Krishna. Saraswati adjusting those things. He says, Naradam, you know, the lowest among men. She says, like, Naratam, Nara Uttama, he's the best. And many things like that. They have, they're adjusting. Saraswati is adjusting, others are adjusting. We're trying to engage in spiritual culture, not another type of culture. Or trade spiritual culture for the behavior of, you know, ordinary people. Why have we come then? It's very easy to fault find. That you don't have to be trained to do that. You're already qualified. But this other spiritual seeing, that's in that you can only get at the lotus feet of Guru, Sadhu Shastra, Guru Vaishnav. So there has to be some connecting thread thematically. So as I told in the beginning, Gurudev saying, my religion is finding fault with myself. My own faults should be more than enough for me to focus on. How to deal with them, how to adjust, eliminate.
So can I ask them, with our current situation, I find myself personally very difficult to associate with certain people without having a, you know, offensive mental stream going on, but there seems to be some necessity, some sort of requirement to be in their proximity. So how do we deal with that?
Well, by thinking of what you just said, if it's your service requirement, then there's no fault on your part to in that association. But the mental, just if you think, well, I have some service to do, so not to focus on trying to understand the mental condition, psychic mental condition of another person. You have to do something, you do your seva and finish. When Guru Maharaj said that he found himself in difficult situations within the Gaudiya Math, that he, at those times, he looked to Saraswati Thakur. We've been telling this sloka that says, Guru Janashire Punashobosh Pai Shataguna. If you look at the lotus feet, if you look at Gurudev, you see over the head of Gurudev the lotus feet of Krishna with the greatest intensity. So he would, circumstantially things would be upsetting, and then he would think of Saraswati Thakur, why he'd come, look toward the ontological side of things, and adjust himself with that. Then he was prepared to tolerate so many things, because he wanted to keep that connection. We want to keep the connection with our Guru Varga and Seva. And for that, many things can be tolerated. But allowing oneself to become intolerant, and that takes one away from seva and the guru connection, is a disaster. Then you realize you've allowed yourself to be deceived, and it has nothing to do with the other person, but something within yourself that allowed you to engage in a type of mental culture that deluded you and took you in the wrong direction. So that's when I think, really, we're dealing with ourselves. That's an excuse, the environment and those in it, what they're doing. That's the excuse the mind will provide to mislead. So many times, Srila Guru Maharaj says in his final days, Saraswati Thakur, saying, religion means proper adjustment. That's the point. So we'll find ourselves in many, many different situations. I asked Srila Guru Maharaj once, if there was one mistake you could make as an aspiring servitor that couldn't be undone in this lifetime. And first, maybe he didn't understand clearly what I was saying. Maybe I didn't understand clearly what I was trying to express. But finally he told me, he said, the answer to this question, whether it'll help you or not, I don't know. He said, but the finite is going to meet the infinite. And he's giving an overview of what this is, if you have to say, in summary. The finite being is going to meet the infinite. That's the aspiration, the connection. He said, but by our very nature, like to err as human, we commit so many mistakes. So he said, if between now and then, the sum total of the mistakes that one might, you know, it would be mind-boggling and overwhelming. About one devotee, Gurudev said, to err is human, and he's very human. But that devotee made so much progress in the midst of being very human. So that's why Guru said, the answer to this, whether it's going to help you or not, I don't know. But he was basically factoring in, yes, you'll make so many mistakes. And trying to realize this aspiration. Gurudev sent me a letter once, quoting the Upanishad, which says, Durgam patastat kavayo vidanti kovida, means those in the know spiritually. And they've said that this path, Durgam patastat kovida vidanti, means Durgam means obstacles, among many other things. One of the meanings is obstacles. And so he said, it's been said by the experts that this path is covered with many obstacles. And this is the same section where it gives the example of the razor's edge. That you become a little inattentive and you draw blood. That you always have to have the right angle. You got the right angle. But become inattentive and you draw blood. You're cut. So they told you have to be very cautious, very attentive and careful on the path that's covered with so many obstacles. But what's being advised here is that, you know, the heart has some food stuff which is necessary, like the pastimes of Mahaprabhu given here. He's saying without regularly being nourished by this, how can you expect to maintain your vitality? When Srila Prabhupada was on the Jaladuta, alone, going on this impossible journey, into unknown, heart attack, so many things. In his diary, at one point he says, you know, daily I am relishing the nectarine of Chaitanya Leela, the source of my all vitality. That's how he's keeping himself strong. So those things that we find personally are nourishing and strength-giving, invigorating, not to ignore them or let them diminish during times like this of great stress and need. Otherwise you're back to the mind, the durmati, the mind which is not actually our friend, endlessly looping on negative things and wearing down one's vitality. So to balance, that is a natural human tendency. That will be there in varying degrees. But sometimes we succumb to it more than others. But if we have some spiritual subject matter, something superior, then not only does that make us healthier, but it creates some balance and perspective about it. It's not as overwhelming as it is in the absence of spiritual substance. We have Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. We don't hear much about him. But one thing we hear is that he forbid himself to hear the faults of Vaishnavas. And that tells us two things. One is that the implication is maybe there was some fault. He didn't want to hear it because he knew there's nothing good that will come as the outcome of that. So he just didn't want to hear it. And I saw Gurudev was mainly like that. You brought up some thoughts. He's the first one to adjust, take it to some higher, or to not allow that to cloud spiritual seeing. And Saraswati Thakur's famous statement, it's only that I am honeycombed with thousands of defects that I take the task of finding fault with others. I mean, some things were extreme. If they told him that someone was no longer like taking Krishna Nam, and he'd say, oh, by their previous Krishna Nam, so much seva came to them that they're unable to. They're overwhelmed with seva that they can't take Krishna Nam. He preferred to see in that way. And we can say, well, that's the vision of a Mahabhagavata. Well, welcome to the Krishna Consciousness Movement. That's the vision of the Krishna Consciousness Movement is promoted by Mahabhagavatas, by how they see things. That's what's at the core of all of this. When we say devotees, we mean the genuine devotees. Really, that's who we're referring to. And we want to come under their influence, their way of seeing things. Guru Maharaj is telling Gurudev, are you prepared to listen to me and not your mind? We're back to that. So this is all about that. How do they see things? And then saying, well, that's going to require a lot of adjustment for me. All right. That's something good to recognize, because I'm not seeing it like that. Then adjust yourself until you can see it like that. At least we have to understand theoretically what we're being advised to do. This isn't actually, you know, meant for the lower section. This is for, you know, the Paramahansas. You say, we're not that. That's right. So we're aspiring servitors. We want a connection with them through service. And in that Bhakti Lata Bij description of Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami, talking about those things which will nourish the Bhakti Lata, the devotional creeper, and those things which will choke its growth and development. The Shravan, Kirtan, Smaran, these are nourishing substances. Fault finding, duplicitous behavior, etc., are weeds. They stunt, choke the growth of the creeper. Why does he mention those things unless it's real? Immediately after saying so many wonderful things, then they're talking about that. Because it's a realistic assessment of things. And that was told so long ago. Right? I mean, it's an eternal truth, but the point is I'm making, even in that time, certain cautions Rupa Goswami is giving, or Mahaprabhu to him, etc., etc. You know, we could think, well, at that time everybody was perfect, weren't they? There's varying degrees of perfection. Why is Rupa Goswami, Mahaprabhu says, Upadeshamrita, Guru Maharaj says, Upadeshamrita is really Mahaprabhu through Rupa Goswami. So it's like a distillation of the teachings. And one of the Vasyavegam, Manasakrodavegam, for starters, controlling the tongue, especially with regard to speak, to not speak something unpalatable, not speak an unpalatable truth. Vasyavegam, Krodha, anger, mind becoming angry. Why does he start there? Think, who's he talking to? But later, when he gives a famous example about the Ganga, and he says, the Ganga, the water of the Ganga, he talks about sometimes, and we've seen whether or not it appears that polluted substances, saying, one with spiritual vision, they go, it's Ganga. They know it has this purifying capacity. Anyway, that's the example he's given. But Guru Maharaj, in explaining that, says, so, and it's also there indicated in the verse, when he said, So some of, we're told to look beyond the physical defects of a Vaishnava. Like we see, especially in India, physical deformation, things like that. And someone who may be a sincere servitor. And we're inclined to, we dismiss that. But he's saying, as much as you wouldn't consider physical deformity a disqualification for a servitor, neither shall you consider a particular type of mentality a disqualification. This type of caution is being given. Guru Maharaj's filling in the blanks on saying someone might appear to be, you know, arrogant, a little too arrogant, or greedy, or the name, you know, a list of things that you might observe. He's saying that does not cancel the spirit of devotion. So you say, well, who could believe that? But somebody engaged in the culture of Krishna consciousness. That's too hard to believe. That you know, I would have to change drastically to believe something like that. But that's the idea. No, we're going to remain the way we are, and I know certain things because, you know, yes, you have very limited experience of the limited. And on the basis of that, you're going to make all sorts of observations, conclusions. Whereas the unlimited view is being broadcast through its agents, and we're reluctant to adjust ourselves to that. That would require really a major makeover. But that's the idea. Diksha kale bhakta kori atma samarpan is not to remain as you are, as we are. It's, you know, it's easy for me to sit here and say these things too. But I'm saying them because I can't ignore them. Can't ignore what's been heard. So having faith in spiritual experts and their assessments, and these are the kind of observations they've made and shared, then we're trying to, we see how necessary, it's not optional. That's the point. It's not optional. It's not, well, I don't know if I'm going to get into that kind of thing right now. It may be exactly what you have to do right now. In other words, not written in a book 500 years ago, 50 centuries ago, you know. It's not that kind of thing. It's either relevant right now or it's not. You know, it's either has the ring of eternal truth, something that's really valuable and relevant to life, my life, your life, our lives at this moment. That's the way these things are. They're not. You can't come. You know, there's like our lives, etc. Right now, and this is another thing. No, if we're actually engaged in spiritual culture, it's entirely relevant, and it appears to be.